Hi, this is Larry London, and I welcome you to Border Crossings. Today, we're joined by a singer, songwriter, and also a movie actor, TV actor, quite an accomplished performer who's internationally known around the world. We'd like to welcome Joshua Radin to our show. He's on camera right now. Hello, Josh.
Hi.
Where are you located right now? Is that your home? Is that a hotel room behind you?
I'm in Stockholm, Sweden.
Wow, Stockholm.
Yeah.
So you are quite an international traveler. From what I've been reading, you recorded the current album, which is called Though the World Will Tell Me So, Volumes 1 and 2. You recorded the albums in different countries around the world.
Yeah, pretty much just been writing a song and then finding a studio to record it and put it out and trying to get the songs out as quickly as possible after I write them, because usually the lag time is... For my first 9 albums, is like by the time I'd be on tour playing the album, it was like, well, I wrote these songs like a year and a half, 2 years ago. I'm like, I already want to play the stuff I'm writing now and more inspired by now. So I'm trying a new way. And it's been more interesting for me.
Mm-hmm. Does the writing change when you're writing in a foreign country? Do you get influenced by other factors? Obviously, the food, the people, the culture, it comes into play.
I sold my house in Los Angeles about a year and a half ago, and I gave away a lot of stuff. I put like my guitars and gear and books and records and family heirlooms in a storage unit, but I gave away most other my things that weren't like sort of bringing me joy. I was just thinking I wanted to be collecting experiences, not things. And that, I think, has been helping my writing, and it's keeping me curious. And the older I get, I find that when I was 20 years old, it was very easy to be curious about the world. Now at this age, I feel like it's hard. It's more of a struggle to stay open and curious. And I find that when I'm in a foreign country, if I don't speak the language, I'm sort of like the best version of myself, because it forces me to stay open, to meet people, to, if I was in Los Angeles, walking down the street, I might overhear a conversation and think like, oh, I've heard that conversation a million times before, you know, what's the difference between New York and LA, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I would just tune out. Whereas here, if I'm sitting in a cafe somewhere in Europe and people are speaking French or Czech or Swedish or Spanish, Portuguese, and I don't speak the language, in my mind, my imagination runs wild, and I think they're talking about the most interesting thing ever. And it's like, wow, I'm so excited to be here. I'm adjacent to the most exciting conversation that's ever happened, even though I have no idea what it is. But it keeps me curious.
And it must be interesting to have to adjust to each culture, because every culture is different. I guess, you know, I hear in France, you can't get ice water. They don't serve ice water. You know, so you ask for ice water,
it's like you want. I'll tell you what, in France, I've noticed that you just have to be a little more deferential. You know, they just don't like people sitting down and just speaking English as if they're supposed to speak English. They all do in Paris, but you have to apologize in French and say, do you speak English? And then they're like, okay, of course I do. Yeah.
Joshua Radin is our guest here on Border Crossings. And so how are the fans in the different countries compared to what you're used to back home in the United States? Is there a difference in their response and reaction, or is it all the same?
I've been touring for like 18 years all over the world, and it's always the same. It's my fans are so, they're coming to hear, it's a listening audience. They're not coming for a party. You know, it's very quiet, acoustic music. And if there's one person in the way back, like talking loudly or something, you'll hear people shushing them until they leave. and they know that going in. So it's basically, I'm always looking out at a theater of very quiet, respectful people. And the only difference is that certain countries, like, for instance, Belgium, you have no idea whether they're liking the concert at all until the very end, if they ask for an encore, because they're so respectful. And the first time I played there in Brussels, I thought in my mind, there's like an hour and a half of on stage, and my thought bubble would have said, everybody hates me, my career's done. And then I walked off stage, demoralized, and then they exploded on their feet and were screaming for an encore. And I was like, oh, okay. It's just a different culture where that's how they do it during a show. Like the Chinese are that way too.
Mm-hmm. In Japan too, I understand. Japan is a very calm, quiet audience. It does pay attention to the lyrics and responds afterwards.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, to answer your question, I find that over 18 years of touring all over, I haven't, they're always very similar audiences. My music is so personal, and they're like diary entries. So if people are coming to hear the songs, they generally relate to the songs. So they're kind of, in a way, a lot like me. I've met so many people after shows over all these years, and we always end up like going for drinks together or becoming friends. It's like we're actually pretty similar kind of people. We have similar experiences, similar feelings about love and loss and all sorts of things. So I've basically just been 18 years of cultivating friends all over the world.
Mm-hmm. And you've got some great music friends, too. I know you've toured with Ed Sheeran, Sheryl Crow, quite a number of different artists. And who influenced you most, Joshua Radin? Who's the person that kind of helped you to get to where you're at today?
Oh, my parents.
Your parents. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Musically, great. I mean.
No one in my family is artistic at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's probably why it took me till I was 30 to buy a guitar and teach myself some chords and start writing songs, because I just didn't grow up in a musical world. I just was a fan. You know, my parents and my sister were all fans of music. And I would, you know, in college, I think I spent all my textbook money on CDs and concerts. But I just never thought I would be able to do something like that. But again, staying curious, staying open. And I thought, why not try this? And it worked out.
All right. Joshua Radin, are you going to do a song for us off of the new album?
If you'd like.
I would love it.
I figured maybe I'd play some older songs for
okay,
you.
Okay. That's great too. Would love to hear some vintage Joshua Radin.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
This is a song. The first song I ever wrote. It's called Winter.
Winter. All right, here's Joshua Radin with Winter on Border Crossings.
I should know who I am by now. I walk, the record stand somehow. Thinking of winter, your name is the splinter inside me while I wait. And I remember the sound of your November downtown, and I remember the truth. December with you, but I don't have to make this mistake, and I don't have to stay this way. If only I would wait, the walk has all been cleared by now. Your voice is all I hear somehow, calling out winter. Your voice is the splinter inside me while I wait. And I remember the sound of your November downtown, and I remember the truth. December with you, but I don't have to make this mistake, and I don't have to stay this way. If only I would wait, I could have lost myself in rough blue waters in your eyes, and I miss you still. I remember the sound of your November downtown, and I remember the truth, a warm December with you, but I don't have to make this mistake, and I don't have to stay this way. If only I would wait.
Crossings, Joshua Radin, and the first song you ever wrote, Winter. So going way back to the first song you ever wrote and today's music that you're writing for your new album, how have you evolved? What changes have gone on with Joshua Radin to bring you to where you're at today?
Wow, I mean, 18 years of evolution, and you want me to answer that in, what, about 14 seconds?
Yeah, why not? Give me 15 seconds. I mean, are you more, because I read where you said you're vulnerable. The new album, you were vulnerable.
Well, I'm much shorter now.
You're shorter than you were.
Oh, you mean like emotionally?
Emotionally vulnerable.
Musically, how I've been evolving.
Yes.
I mean, I've lost like 6 inches in height. I didn't think that was going to happen. I mean, I grew up being able to dunk a basketball. Now I can barely touch the net. It's horrible. No one tells you you're going to shrink. Maybe it's just the posture. I'm like a hunchback or something now.
Will you clarify something for me? I think I know the answer, but listeners, you know, a lot of people around the world who are tuned in 100 countries, they think immediately when you get 1 billion streams, that means you got $1 a stream. You must be a billionaire. It doesn't work that way.
What platform gives you $1 a stream? I got to put my music on that. I think I've made about $12. I don't know. I was told there'd be no math, Larry.
Well, hopefully it's been somewhat lucrative. I know you've.
No, I'm not complaining. I've been very lucky.
Yes. And I mentioned.
Definitely not a billionaire.
Not a billionaire. You're a billion short of being a billionaire.
If I was a billionaire, I'd have someone doing this interview for me right now. My assistant's assistant.
We've got Joshua Radin on the show. And right now he's in Stockholm. Where's the tour taking you to next? Where are you off to next?
I just finished the European tour about 2 weeks ago. And it was amazing. I had so much fun. I mean, you know, ever since the world shut down during 2020 and 2021, everyone had to cancel so many tours. Live music wasn't back. And it's amazing how much I appreciate it even more now. I mean, I did back then, but now it's like every time I walk on stage, I just can't believe we get to do this again and again. And so that was so much fun. Now I'm going to be here based in Europe, writing and recording new music. I like to spend a lot of time here in Stockholm. I've been coming here for many years and I have a lot of friends, and it's a really good base if you want to be in Europe and get down to the Mediterranean a lot in the summer and swim in the Mediterranean, which is my favorite part of July. So, and then I go back in the States and do a month and a half tour around the States starting September 8th in Dallas. And, that's a month and a half. And then I think I'll go chase the sun somewhere, maybe book some shows in like Hawaii or.
Wow.
Try to find the other side of the equator. I'm trying to not spend a lot of time in winters these days.
Mm-hmm. Where have you not been yet that you still want to go? Where are the places that you're hopefully going to play in the future?
I would love, bucket list spots, Iceland, trying to see Reykjavik. And that's pretty close to where I am right now, so I might check that out soon. I have never been to Greece, so I'm definitely going to do that in July when I'm down in the Mediterranean. Because I've been to all those other countries. And I've never been to Chile. I've played in Brazil and Argentina, but I've never been to Chile. And I hear it's stunningly beautiful. So I think those are my top three bucket list spots to play shows.
Have you performed in Africa? We have a large following in Africa.
I lived in South Africa in Cape Town for a year, many years ago, long before I was playing music or had ever dreamed of playing music. I was teaching right after university, and I lived there for a year in Cape Town. So I spent time traveling around South Africa, but not much of the rest of the continent. So I wasn't a musician yet, so I wasn't performing, and I haven't been back since then. So that's another place I'd love to go and play some concerts. So if you got some listeners out there that want to hear me and Cape Town, or Joburg, or Durban, or way far north somewhere in Africa, like that'd
right.
be cool.
In Ghana, Nigeria, Rwanda. I mean, there's a lot of Ethiopia.
I gotta get there. I gotta.
Joshua Radin is our guest on Border Crossings today. We're talking about his latest music, which is Though the World Will Tell Me So, Volumes 1 and 2. You released Volume 1, I think, last year, and so this year it's Volume 2. And you're on tour promoting the new music, the new album. I understand that you were contacted by former First Lady Michelle Obama and current First Lady Dr. Jill Biden. And what was about? What's the connection there?
I had played a fundraiser during the Obama's second term, when Barack Obama was running for his second term. And I was contacted by Ted Sarandos, who's the CEO of Netflix, and we had met randomly on an airplane once years ago, right when they started Netflix. I'd never heard of it yet. And we became friends, and he would come to my shows. And then one day he asked if I would come to his backyard and play for Michelle Obama, who was going to give a speech in the backyard, you know, while she was in L.A. fundraising for the second term. And so I met her, and she was lovely. And she heard me play this song called Brand New Day, which I'll play for you now if you want.
Yeah.
And then she and Dr. Jill Biden used it in a commercial for our troops, which was an honor for me.
Excellent. Well, what a great segue into the new song. So here's Josh Radin.
Called Brand New Day. Let me get my guitar back again.
All right. Brand New Day on Border Crossings.
Some kind of magic happens late at night when the moon smiles down at me and bathes me in its light. I fell asleep beneath you in the tall blades of grass. When I awoke, the world was new. I never had to ask. It's a brand new day. The sun is shining. It's a brand new day. For the first time in such a long, long time, I know I'll be okay. Most kind of stories save the best part for last. And most stories have a hero who finds you make your past your past. Yeah, you make your past. It's a brand new day. The sun is shining. It's a brand new day. For the first time in such a long, long time, I know I'll be okay. This cycle, it never ends. You gotta fall in order to mend. It's a brand new day. It's a brand new day. For the first time in such a long, long time, I know I'll be okay.
Border Crossings, Brand New Day. Josh Radin is with us on Border Crossings, and the new album is Though the World Will Tell Me So, Volumes 1 and 2. And it's an interesting title for an album. Why did you decide that would be the good title for volumes 1 and 2?
Well, I think when I went nomad a year and a half ago and gave away a bunch of my stuff and just been kind of traveling and chasing experiences rather than things, a lot of my friends and family thought I was a bit crazy. They were like, this is the kind of thing you do when you're like 20. Not when you're sort of settled and have a house and car and, you know, sort of like a life. And, but I think touring, you know, I told you I started playing music and bought a guitar when I turned 30 and taught myself to play. And so I had loved to travel before that, but then getting on tour for the last 18 years, I had to acclimate in a way that It's not the easiest thing in the world for a lot of people to just uproot their life and be in a different city every day, and that can be disconcerting for a lot of people. So it took me a while to acclimate, and then when I finally did, now I get itchy feet if I'm in a place for too long. You know, even like a week, I'm like, I gotta go. I gotta be somewhere new. Now I crave that stimulation of a new place and new environment, new people, new activities, or whatever. So, though the world will tell me so is a line from one of the songs on the album called "I'm Just Different," and I was thinking a lot about writing this album. Like, so much. There's so many societal rules that people say, like, this is when you sleep, when this is how you eat, this is how you travel, this is how you love, this is how you work. So many things we do are just sort of ingrained in us from our parents and society, and I've just been questioning a lot of that recently. I mean, my whole life, but even more so recently. I just constantly asking why? Why that? Why that? And the world might tell you one thing, but that doesn't mean it's right for you.
Were you an inquisitive kid growing up? Were you
Yeah, I
one
was always that
asking why?
annoying kid asking the teachers why? 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 Not to be annoying, but I was just curious.
No, that's great that you have a thirst for knowledge like that. That's great that you want answers. I'm like that. I want to know
Let's tell
the
my
why.
first grade teacher. I'm sure she probably still knows me.
So what does Little Kids Rock mean to you? What is the Little
It's an
Kids
amazing
Rock?
organization. It's only in America, but it's an amazing organization that I've worked with for a long time in inner cities, in major cities in America, in the inner cities where musical programs have been cut due to lack of funding. Little Kids Rock is this amazing charity that donates instruments and teachers and after school programs and tries to keep the arts going in places where schools can't afford it. So a lot of times I would go visit, like if I was in Chicago, I'd show up on the tour bus, we'd get in the morning, and I'd go down to one of the schools, and I'd teach them one of my songs, and we'd hang out a little bit. They could ask questions. Sometimes I'd bring them on the tour bus. They'd be like these little kids. They'd be like, "This is the coolest thing ever." And then I'd quite a few of them I'd invite up on stage later that night and show them what it's like to be on stage in front of an audience, and just to give them some inspiration. Where I was lucky enough to have an arts program where I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, in the school that I went to, and I loved those teachers. And even though I didn't grow up thinking I'd be an artist, it wired my brain in a certain way I knew I had options. Like, it wasn't just math, science, or that's it, that's school. So it's nice to be able to show kids that don't have that even if you're not going to be a professional artist in some way, that it can help the way you live and the way you learn.
And you also love animals. That's something
I
else
do.
that you're very
I love
engaged with.
kids and I love animals. There's something about live beings that sort of need help that can't do. I don't love adults, Larry. Like, I love humanity, but not like a lot of people. But I love kids and I love animals. I love rescue animals. And like, I'm like, I root for the underdog. I'm from Cleveland. I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. Like,
There you go.
we're just like, my whole lifetime, we've got one championship in three sports. It's like I was bred to root for the underdog, and
Could be
I
worse. It
shouldn't
could
say
be
I
from
don't like
Detroit.
adults. It's just they're spoiled, adults. So many adults are already spoiled. What are you going to
That's
do?
true. Very
But if you
true.
get in on the ground floor with like a rescue puppy or a kitten or a kid who like is 8 years old and it's like already thinking like, I can't do this. The world is closed to me, and you kind of provide some inspiration or something. Like, I guess that's where I prefer to spend my time. I feel like I have more of an effect that way.
And they are vulnerable, so it must make you, I mean, you're talking to
And
kids
they're
who are just
curious.
starting there. They're curious, they ask why, and they're
They
just
keep me
starting out.
curious,
That's great. That's great.
That's the most important thing for an artist getting older, or anyone, I think, getting older. I love meeting like 95-year-old couples that are out dancing in the street, or it's like those are the best people. They're just like, and they're talking to young people. Like, what are you listening to? What do you, is there a movie we should see? I mean, that's how I want to be. I
Experience
want
is
to
the
be
best
curious till
teacher.
I die.
Joshua Radin is with us. We're going to get one more song out of Joshua before he has to take off to his next interview appointment. So what's the next song you're going to do?
This is also one of the first songs I ever wrote, and it's called Everything Will Be All Right, but parenthetically, Will's Lullaby, because I wrote this for my friend's little baby, who wouldn't stop crying when Hurricane Katrina was happening in New Orleans. And so it was a terrible time with watching the news, but trying to get this kid to fall asleep who was like 6 months old. And so I wrote him this little lullaby. And yeah, I figured it's a good way to go out on this interview, because it's hopeful, I think. It's cynical, but hopeful.
And it's called Everything's
Just Like
Gonna
Me.
Be All Right?
Yeah.
All right. Here's Joshua Radin on Border Crossings.
Way down in New York town, thinking about the way she loved me. There's a hole in my pocket that's about her size, but I think everything is gonna be alright. Yes, I hope everything is gonna be alright. A smiling face is trade in LA. The gifts are found at the bar. Well, I wish my car could drive to her tonight. Then I know everything is gonna be alright. Yes, then I know it'll be alright. The rain in New Orleans forgot to end, but the mouths of the people are dry. And we watch and nothing but sigh and hope everything is gonna turn out right. But I don't know if it'll be alright. But I look at you, warm in your dream, while your mobile dances above. Myself. It's a beautiful night, and I know everything is gonna be alright. Yes, now I know it'll be alright.
Border Crossings, Joshua Radin, Everything's Gonna Be Alright, from the very cynical and hopeful Joshua Radin, who's been talking with us today on the show. If people want to find your tour dates, if they want to come and see your shows around the world,
JoshuaRadin.com.
You knew I was going to ask. JoshuaRadin.com.
So it's R-A-D-I-N. That's how you spell my last name. JoshuaRadin.com.
And you've sold over a million records. And you get gold records. And you got all kinds of achievements and accomplishments. And so...
I still can't dunk a basketball, Larry.
You still can't dunk it. Nobody told you you're going to get
shorter. And it's not getting any easier.
Well, that's okay. You chose music, not basketball. So you made a good career. Yeah. Nine albums, and here we are. This is the 10th, or is this the 9th, the new
one?
It's
the 10th.
10 albums in quite an illustrious career, which is over 15 years, I guess?
Almost 20.
Almost 20 years. Wow. And so it's an exciting...
Very fortunate that people still show up to listen to me play. I can't believe they still do, but I'm going to keep doing it while they keep showing up.
Mm-hmm. And so what's the next project for you? Are you writing for another film? Are you writing for another TV show?
No, I've never really written for a film or a TV show. I just put out records and people, you know, they just end up calling and asking if they can use a song in a TV show. So that's how people kind of all over the world have heard my songs. So there's like 10 songs in like Grey's Anatomy or Scrubs, mm-hmm. all those, so many series that people still watch, no matter where they are in the world. So I can show up pretty much any major city in the world, and there's going to be fans of that TV show who learned about my music watching that and then found me and listened to my records. And so it's, you know, 20 years ago, I feel like music supervisors became sort of the new radio DJs, you know, but it wasn't one town. You weren't like, you didn't have a hit in Boston, but no one knew who you were anywhere else. It was sort of like, you know, If you had a song on that closed out Grey's Anatomy 15 years ago, there were millions and millions of people all over the world that are going to hear that song and look it up and Shazam it or whatever. And so all those 200 TV shows and ads and films and things like that, that's how my music's gotten out to people, and I'm very appreciative.
Joshua Radin is our guest here on Border Crossings, and he's getting smaller and smaller, he says, so you better go see him before he disappears. But I'm sure we've got some more albums to look forward to in the future. Right now he's on tour promoting his
I don't know, Larry, we'll see. Don't pressure me.
Is there anything you'd like to do that you haven't done yet? Score a film or something else? Is there?
That'd be cool. I mean, you know, now I'm thinking about it, maybe I should like start acting at 60.
Yeah,
I got a bunch of years to think about it.
That's right, you got plenty of time.
I got plenty of time to get a soliloquy ready to go.
I'm sure you're a long way from 60 anyway, because you do look young.
Yes, I am. But I remember when my dad taught me to play golf when I was like 12 years old, and he said, "You're never going to be pro, but when you're 50, you could join the senior tour." And as that approaches, I'm not really a very good golfer at all. I mean, play maybe once every 2 years, but it's still in my mind. Like at 50,
yeah, I'm going really for the tour. Well, thank you so much, Joshua Radin, for joining us on the show today. It's a pleasure meet you and have you on here. Oh no, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Though the World Will Tell Me So is the name of the newest series, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Will there be a Volume 3?
I have no idea. Probably not. I'll probably just start working on the next album.
All right. Well, thank you for being with us. We look forward to seeing you on the road and hearing your latest music and new music to come. And if you're in D.C., please come by our studios. We'd love to have you in person.
I will be in the fall.
All right. Well, come back and visit with us. Joshua Radin is our guest. This is Border Crossings. My name is Larry London. You are watching VOA TV.